I know that you know that this is a chalice, but do you know what it's made of? Soap. I think we've come to this. It's a cartoon that says, it's a guy coming out of the bathroom. There's a bright red flashing light that says, didn't wash hands. And this is hand washing right here. And you can see the difference between before washing and rinse and shaking, and then 6 seconds no soap, 6 seconds with soap, 15 seconds with soap, and 30 seconds with soap. And they have come up with all kinds of ways. Well, then there's this. This guy's really serious. And then this one that says, wash your hands like you convince your husband to murder the rightful king and you can't get the blood off. And then, who's a Shakespeare person in here? You? Okay, so you might like to read this one. This gives instructions for how to wash your hands, and what does it say, Dave?
Out, damn spot. Out, I say.
Keep going.
Two, why then? It is time to do it. Hell is murky. Fie, my lord, fie.
B, whatever.
And a fear. What need we fear who knows it, when none can tell our power to account? Yet we would have thought the old man to have had so much blood.
Right. So if you memorize that and you say it while you wash your hands, you've done it long enough. And then here's a UU one that gives instructions, and then they've changed the words to come sing a song with me. So if you can read this word, sing it with me. Come wash your hands with me. Come wash your hands with me. Come wash your hands with me so we can have peace of mind. And I'll bring you soap when soap is hard to find. And I'll sing this song for you as we protect humankind. And you're supposed to actually go through that twice. Then, who's a Star Trek person? Who's a Trekkie in here? Okay, Ricky, you get to read this one.
CDC recommends washing your hands for 20 seconds. You know what takes roughly 20 seconds to say? Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. You're not required to hum the theme afterwards, but who's going to stop you, honestly?
Okay, so there's another option. And then this one, sing it with me. Wash, wash wherever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of cleaning. Rinsing the germs off is easy to do. Wash, yet again, wash. You could probably sing that through twice. And then there's this one that says, I don't want to be presumptuous, but you can also just wash your hands even if there's not some pandemic currently capturing your attention. It doesn't have to be a special occasion. And then there are ways to greet each other without shaking hands, like the Spock's Vulcan salute. And there's a whole article about that, which we're not going to read. That's right. Practice, right? So here we go. And then some other ways, like namaste, and the Vulcan salute, and you can wink, or the butt bump, but you're going to need permission for that one. Get permission for that one. And then this one I love that says, introverts say, I've been preparing for this moment my whole life to stay at home, right? And then people got clever, and Dan, you ready? People got clever and started picking things up, so you go ahead.
Yeah, you got that something. I think you'll understand.
It's COVID-19.
I want to hold your hand.
Not advisable.
I want to hold your hand.
No.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now touch me, babe.
That's not advised.
Can't you see that I am not afraid?
Immaterial.
It started out with a kiss. How did it end up like this?
Exchange of bodily fluids is a common source of contagion.
It was only a kiss.
What did we just say? Now, who knows? Do you know this one?
I looked it up.
Okay.
Don't make me come over there and love
you. We'd prefer it if you didn't.
Because I will.
Right now.
No, really. Just don't go over there.
Because I got one hand in my pocket.
Make sure it's sanitized.
And the other one is giving a high five.
That's it. I quit.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case.
Oh, no.
Of loving you. I'm hot-blooded, check it and see.
Well, yes, we do advise constant monitoring of body temperature.
Of 103.
Oh, dear God, why are you still singing? Can we get an ambulance here right away? I got chills. That's the first symptom. They're multiplying. That's really not good. And I'm losing control. Oh, so are we.
But I would walk 500 miles.
Actually, you should just stay at home.
And I would walk 500
miles. No, see, that spreads the virus.
Just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
Widen the quarantine radius. And this is my favorite.
Touching hands.
No, don't touch hands.
Reaching out.
Please avoid that.
Touching you.
Everyone in Boston is doomed. Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum. Good times never seem so good. Okay, and then?
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
You, sir, are our new spokesperson. And then there's this. Thank you. That's it. I just thought those were fun. I love people. I love that people are clever like that. And then there's this that says, imagine if the media reported on the climate crisis like it does on the coronavirus. Headline news every day, constantly releasing an updated death toll, analyzing whether world leaders are doing enough. Most importantly, make believe this is something to take seriously. Wherever it began, the 1918 flu pandemic lasted just 15 months, but was the deadliest outbreak in human history. It killed between 50 and 100 million people worldwide. It was a bit like a tsunami, the Smithsonian Magazine said. It would seem to abate, but it was like it was going out and gathering up steam and then eventually coming back in three different waves. It was widespread and miserable, and people were filled with fear, and it was as bad as it was because government officials lied and tried to cover it up, and people didn't know what was happening or how to take care of themselves. So here are some of the stories from that time from all across the U.S. We were almost afraid to breathe. You were afraid to even go out. The fear was so great, people were afraid to leave their homes, afraid to talk to one another. It kept people apart. You had no school life, you had no church life, you had nothing. It completely destroyed all family and community life, and the terrifying aspect was when each day dawned, you didn't know whether you would be there when the sun set that day. An internal American Red Cross report concluded, a fear and panic of the influenza, akin to the terror of the Middle Ages regarding the Black Plague, has been prevalent in many parts of the country. In Michigan, a couple and three children were all sick together, but a Red Cross worker reported that not one of the neighbors would come in and help. I telephoned the woman's sister. She came and tapped on the window, but refused to talk to me until she had gotten a safe distance away. Normally, when someone was sick in those days, people would bring food over to families, but nobody was coming in, nobody would bring food in, nobody came to visit. There were hundreds of cases of people starving to death, not from lack of food, but because the well were panic-stricken and would not go near the sick. Let's not do this time. We're smarter than that now. We have tools and we have resources. This is not the zombie apocalypse. It is serious. It's more serious for those with compromised immune systems and lung conditions and heart conditions and diabetes. And what we want to do is slow down the spread of this disease. So we do want to wash our hands. We want to wash them so much. And don't pick your nose. Oh, you know we all do it. So don't pick your nose or put your fingers in your mouth or on your lips or in your eyes. And honestly, I cannot believe how much I touch my face. I've been paying attention. I touch it a lot. And you may want to sanitize objects that you and lots of others touch, like door handles. And if you're sick, stay home. And if you're a boss and you can give someone permission to stay home, do that. Many service workers don't have insurance, and they're often threatened that they'll lose their jobs if they don't come into work. And for undocumented workers that our economy still runs on, they may not seek treatment for fear of being found out and deported, and our healthcare system doesn't provide for that, sadly, and neither does our legal system. So think about that as Unitarian Universalists and people of good faith, as you wonder about and wonder why service is slow. Now, what strikes me about these recommendations, and in fact, all the recommendations that I've heard, is is that they're written for able-bodied people of a certain age in decent health. And Alexandra Brodsky, who is a disability activist, says, a friendly reminder, people who will be high-risk patients if we get coronavirus can hear you when you reassure everyone that we're the only ones who might die. Disability rights activist Sharice Hill says, disabled people are always an afterthought, never built into the messaging of a pandemic, and actually we're arguably built out of the messaging and used specifically as examples for why healthy people shouldn't be concerned. Phrased differently, chronically ill people are marketed as everything someone does not want to be during a pandemic. Why? Because our lives literally aren't considered worth protecting via public responsibility. She says public health messaging built around who you don't want to be during a pandemic gives healthy, less impacted people an easy excuse to not know or care because they aren't impacted. So now that you know, will you start caring? Indeed, it is the duty and obligation in every society to care for those who need help. Do we all realize how hard it is for a person who is disabled to get into a public restroom and to find facilities that are accessible? It's supposed to be that way, but it's still really hard. So I want us just to take a moment to think about who we are in these times and to think about who other than ourselves that we need to take care of in this church. There are people here in this church whose immune systems are compromised, who need to be considered, and that we will need to protect. And if you're one of those who may need extra care, let us know. And who else do you know? Do you know your neighbors? If it is possible for you to have a relationship with your neighbors, do you? And if not, go this afternoon and meet them. Know their names. Give them your contact info. If you're in good health, say, let me know if you need anything. Ask, how are we going to be with each other in the coming months? How will we take care of our neighborhood and of our community? And here's the thing. If because our public health system has gotten the information out and has done such a good job with that, and we go, what was all the fuss about? We can be thankful because they have done their jobs and people have listened. This is not 1918, fortunately. We have ways to communicate now. Even if we're in social isolation or quarantine or whatever name you want to call it, we can stay connected, and we need to. We will offer worship online if need be and if possible. And know this, I am your minister. I care if you are sick. I care when things happen in your life. That's my job and my joy. But I can't respond if I don't know about it. So tell someone who will tell me if you can't tell me or if you don't want to. The sermon that I preach again and again and again is that we are all connected. We are all bound together in that inescapable network of mutuality. There's only one of us here. So pay attention and watch out for each other and care for more than just ourselves is what we need to do. We have to move in some ways beyond that reptilian brain and find the compassion and the global concern that our faith calls us to. Compassion for others actually builds immunity. Malia Jones writes that in this time we have an opportunity right now to reduce our global carbon footprint by telecommuting more, flying less, and understanding where our stuff comes from. In fact, I read the other day that emissions are down in China. We can use this time to think about the problems with our healthcare system, and we can use it to reflect on our positions of privilege and implicit biases. We can start greeting each other in different ways. We can be smart, but we can also be kind. Kindness emerges from wisdom and from knowing that we are each other's business. We are each other's harvest. We are each other's magnitude and bond. I share these words from healer Dori Midnight. We are humans relearning to wash our hands. Washing our hands is an act of love. Washing our hands is an act of care. Washing our hands is an act that puts the hypervigilant body at ease. And washing our hands helps us to return to ourselves by washing away what does not serve. Wash your hands like you are washing the only teacup left that your great-grandmother carried across the ocean, like you are washing the hair of a beloved who is dying, like you are washing the feet of Grace Lee Boggs, Beyoncé, Jesus, your auntie, Audre Lorde, Mary Oliver, you get the picture. Like this water is poured from a jug your best friend just carried for 3 miles from the spring they had to climb a mountain to reach. Like water is a precious resource made from time and miracle. Wash your hands and cough into your elbow, they say. Rest more, stay home, drink water, have some soup, some say. To which I would add, burn some plants your ancestors burned when there was fear in the air. Boil up some aromatic leaves in a pot on your stove until your windows steam like crystal. Open your windows, eat a piece of garlic every day, tie a clove around your neck, breathe. My friends, it is always true, these things, and has already been time. It is always true that we should move with care and intention, asking, do you want to bump elbows instead with everyone we meet? It is always true that people are living with one lung, with immune systems that don't work so well, or perhaps work too hard, fighting against themselves. It is already true that people are hoarding the things that the most vulnerable need. It is already time that we might want to fly on airplanes less and not go to work when we are sick. It is already time that we might want to know who in our neighborhood has cancer, who has a new baby, who is old with children in another state, who has extra water, who has a root cellar, who is a nurse, who has a garden full of elecampane and nettles. It is already time that temporarily non-disabled people think about people living with chronic illness and disabled folks that young people think about old people. It's already time to remember not to take it personally when someone doesn't want to hug you. It is already time to slow down and feel how scared we are. We are already afraid. We are already living in the time of fires when fear arises, and it will. Let it wash over your whole body instead of staying curled up tight in your shoulders. If your heart tightens, contract and expand. Science says compassion strengthens the immune system. We already know that. But capitalism gives us amnesia and tricks us into thinking it's the thing that protects us. But it's the way we hold the thing, the way we do the thing. Those of us who have forgotten amuletic traditions, we turn to hoarding hand sanitizer and mask. We find someone to blame. We think that will help. want to blame something? Blame capitalism. Blame patriarchy. Blame white supremacy. It's already time to remember to hang garlic on our door, to dip our handkerchiefs in thyme tea, to rub salt on our feet, to pray the rosary, kiss the mezuzah, cleanse with an egg. In the middle of the night, when you wake up with terror in your belly, it is time to think about stardust and geological time, redwoods and dance parties and mushrooms remediating toxic soil. It is time to care for one another, to pray over water, to wash fear away every time we wash our hands. Let us not be afraid of each other. Let us persist in kindness, persevere in compassion, and prevail in a life that is bound entirely to love. Let us lean on each other, even if it is metaphorical and not physical.